This is The Root Cellar on Pioneer 90.1, where regional history and family folklore come together with your hosts, Jim and Jan Stranley.
Have you ever traveled down John Ireland Boulevard in St. Paul? It's the one near the Capitol. Have you driven by the St. Paul Cathedral on Summit Avenue in St. Paul, or the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis? I know the choir from Lincoln High School has performed in both of these beautiful religious monuments, but who was responsible for building these impressive Catholic institutions? Why was a boulevard named after him? Well, let's find out why John Ireland was one of the 150 people, places, and things that helped shape our state. The Min 150, a sesquicentennial exhibit at the History Center in St. Paul, depicts these 150 contributors to Minnesota history. Well, let's find out more about the man. John Ireland was born in Kilkenny County, Ireland, in 1838. The Ireland family immigrated to St. Paul in 1852. The first bishop of St. Paul sent John to France to study religion at a preparatory seminary. Ireland returned and was ordained as a Catholic priest in 1861. The Civil War broke out at that time, and John Ireland served as chaplain for the 5th Minnesota Regiment during the early portion of the war. Later in 1875, he was appointed bishop and became one of St. Paul's prominent citizens. It didn't take long, and in 1888, he was appointed Archbishop of St. Paul. Some of his accomplishments, including recruiting Irish immigrants to settle in communities throughout Minnesota. He won fame nationwide for his stance against drinking and his work in the temperance movement. He was an outspoken Republican and had friends in high places, namely Presidents McKinley, Teddy Roosevelt, and Taft. Catholics, as you know, were usually associated with the Democratic Party. He founded the state's largest private college, the University of St. Thomas, in 1885. He built the two massive religious Catholic cathedrals that we mentioned and that are the landmarks in the Twin Cities area. John Ireland co-founded the Colonization Association, an organization that assisted Catholic immigrants in the Eastern American cities who were suffering from social and economic hardships. Land would be purchased in rural areas in the West and in the South, and they would resettle these people from the slums and find homes for them in farmland areas. He worked with the railroads and state governments to accomplish this purpose. I found that over 4,000 families were assisted this way. He was a great supporter of Catholic schools. When some of the Catholic schools in Minnesota were in danger of closing, Ireland sold the school and property to the local school boards of education, who therefore kept the Catholic schools in operation. The schools really were no longer considered Catholic schools, but continued to operate with nuns and priests as teachers, but no religious instruction was allowed. This plan in Minnesota created enough controversy with the Catholic hierarchy that Ireland had to travel to the Vatican City and defend his actions. Well, he did so successfully. He also founded a preparatory school for boys called St. Thomas Academy in 1885 and De La Salle High School on Nicollet Island in 1900. All of these schools were located in the metro area and are still in operation today. As you can surmise, John Ireland was an important figure in Minnesota history. He was a builder, a diplomat, a politician, a colonizer, an orator, a writer, and a friend of presidents. He was an Irishman who loved America and a true believer in the promise of Minnesota. He was one of the state's most outstanding religious leaders. Did he help shape our state? You bet he did. The second subject of our Root Cellar program this time is Itasca State Park. How many of you have visited this area? I am sure many of you have walked across the Mississippi River near the origin, hiked the many trails, or visited the old rustic lodge. How many of you know how Itasca got its name? When Henry Schoolcraft discovered the source of the Mississippi, he requested the accompanying priest to tell him the Latin words for true head. The translation, he was told, was Veritas Caput. Schoolcraft took the last four letters of Veritas, I-T-A-S, and the first two letters of Caput, C-A, to make Itasca. Now you know the rest of the story. It was in 1891 that the Minnesota governor, William Merriam, signed into law a bill creating Itasca State Park, the first piece of Minnesota land to be designated a state park. Minnesota at this time owned only a small portion of the land near the headwaters of the Mississippi. Most of the land was owned by the federal government, logging industries, and railroad companies. It took some time, but eventually the state of Minnesota was to acquire the land that is now the state park. The state, however, could not stop the logging industries from cutting down the trees. They even dammed the Mississippi River to provide transportation for the logs. It took a woman to put a halt to it. Mary Gibbs took over as state park commissioner after her father passed away. Through legal methods, despite even death threats, she successfully forced the logging companies to open the dams in order to relieve the flooding in the area. It wasn't until 1920 that logging finally ended in the park. The CCC, Civilian Conservation Corps, enlisted young men who spruced up the park, planted trees, built roads, and constructed lodges that are still in use today at the Itasca State Park. The CCC, as you know, was established by President Franklin Roosevelt as part of the New Deal to combat the Depression in the 30s. This program put young men to work in the forest to earn a salary and send money home to their families. Today, the park, which is over 32,000 acres in total land size and contains over 100 lakes, is a busy place. Tourists come to the park by the thousands. It is home for university students to study biology, plant pathology, and photography. Hikers, bikers, and nature lovers enjoy the tranquility of the place as well. We camp near the park every year during the Father's Day weekend and enjoy a trip to the park now and then. One of the highlights of the year is the Lake One Region Pioneer Farmers Threshing Bee, held in August near one of the park entrances. Now here is Jan to tell you more about that threshing bee.
Hi. Well, the only problem in calling it a threshing bee is that people might get the idea that that's all it is. And it is really so much more this weekend that they have. I'm going to give you a little history of the organization. The Lake Itasca Region Pioneer Farmers were incorporated in Bagley, Minnesota in 1976 and mandated to the preservation and display of old-time rural America, with emphasis on logging and lumber-making methods of yesteryear, grain threshing, and other country-related pageantries and procedures. From 1976 to 1989, an annual two-day show was held at the Clearwater County Fairgrounds at Bagley. In 1990, the group relocated to its newly purchased grounds adjacent to the north side of the Itasca State Park and within 2 miles of the headwaters of the Mississippi River as it flows out of Lake Itasca on its way to the Gulf of Mexico. The organization began holding three-day shows after moving to the new grounds. Presently, there are 33 buildings, most of which are rustic in their design, and have either been erected or moved onto the 25-acre grounds. I also learned from the lady I talked to on the phone that two more buildings are in construction at this time, so it's continuing to grow. In 1997, the Lake Region Pioneer Farmers purchased what is very likely one of the very last of the largest band sawmills used during Minnesota's glory days of logging. It was used in the early 19th century, along with its 340-horsepower Murray Corliss steam engine. The engine has been restored to operating condition, and work is progressing on the reconstruction of the sawmill. For 30 years, the Lake Region Pioneer Farmers has presented a country old-time music show on Saturday nights of their event, and since moving to the present ground site, a Friday night gospel music show has also become a part of the programming. Music has always been a very important part of the Pioneer Farmers' agenda. This is a family event with a shaded playground and a building in which children may have supervised activity. A kids' pedal tractor pull is held on Saturday. The Lake Itasca Region Pioneer Farmers' annual three-day shows are always held on the third three-day weekend in August, Friday through Sunday. This year, it is August 21st through 23rd, 2009. The grounds are also open for a free public tour from 10 to noon every Saturday, all the way from June until August. So it isn't just those few days of their big event that they're open. Some of the attractions you will see there are log handling and loading pageantry using horses, lumber sawing on a 95-year-old sawmill, lumber planing, shingle and lath making, log sawing demonstrations, grain threshing, horse teams and machinery. A parade is every day of their old machinery. Gas, steam, and diesel engines, including a big upright diesel generator. Model engines and machines. Scale model railroads with steam locomotives. Tractors, vehicles, antique tools, engines that work, grain grinding, and even broom making. I happen to know that as some very good friends of ours from Rogers come down there every year and make brooms. The display centers to visit include a rural schoolhouse, an auditorium with a picture gallery, a blacksmith shop, a church, a pioneer log house, several memorial buildings pertaining to the logging, the Heinz Machinery Building, and several memorial buildings that pertain to the sawmills. There is also a building about the North Itasca Railroad. Many buildings that hold the different engines, and there is a place called Sawmill Hill. Besides that, there's Wallingford's store and a women's activity building. The Lake Itasca Region Pioneer Farmers Incorporated is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to the preservation and display of historic rural logging-related Americana for the cultural, educational, entertaining, and heritage-related benefits of the public. It's located on 25 acres of showgrounds and, as I said, just on the north side of Itasca State Park on Highway 200. There are many things to see and do at the Itasca Pioneer Farmers Show. Besides the grain threshing, there's lumber sawing, shingle making, and more, the way it was done in the old days. Take a ride in a horse-drawn covered wagon or on the model railroad made large enough to carry passengers. I spoke today with Fred Dahlman from Thief River. He's on the board of this organization and has participated for many years. He runs the flea market that's held during their event, and he's also the chaplain of the group. John and Myrna Erickson are also members, and they take care of the parking. Orville Skadsom is very involved in his tractors in the Skadsom building. Anyone can camp for the three-day event, and listen to the prices, $10 for the whole 3 days. There are no hookups, But there is a bathroom down by the camping sites, and there's showers available up the hill. The tickets for the three-day event are $8 for the whole 3 days. You really can't beat that. Fred tells me there are a lot of oak trees providing shade. There are lots of food stands, including the best sweet corn in the state, ice cream stands, fry bread, and even fresh lefse baked daily. So take a chance. Take a road trip. Go down to Itasca State Park right on the north side and take in this wonderful three-day event. Or just go for the day. The dates again are August 21st through the 23rd. And it's called the Lake Itasca Region Pioneer Farmers Event. That's all for today. I hope you go see it. Bye.
The Root Cellar with Jim and Jan Stranley is a production of Pioneer 90.1. You can hear it Monday nights at 6:30 on the Kathy Erickson Show, and Wednesday mornings with Ben at 7:30 a.m.